Marriage is for losers. Hello everyone, I am Tony Raghunandan and welcome to the Authenticity Agenda, where I explore the dynamics and challenges of being genuine, speaking up, and opening the door to influencing those around you. Yes, I was a bit thrown off by the heading as well, but this was the title of an inspiring article by Dr. Kelly Flanagan that helped me to understand the immense benefits that losing can have. For the same reason, I will dare to say that good leadership is for losers also. Of course, I'm putting losers in inverted commas in both cases. Now, before you start unleashing your fury on me, let me explain. What I am referring to here has more to do with an idea and less to do with an attack. Furthermore, losing as an end result is not attractive to anyone. Think for a minute of the following questions. Why do some of us feel the need to always be right? Why don't we try to see another person's point of view? Why do some of us feel that we don't need to change? Why are we sometimes so afraid to show weakness? Is the answer ego or pride? The reason these behaviors continue is because people sometimes feel like they are losing something within themselves if they give in. The most disturbing scenarios are when leaders exhibit these behaviors. Nevertheless, losing in this case is not something to be avoided, but rather something to welcome as part of a process to at times get the desired end result. Here are three actions that many avoid but can do wonders to improve our success rates and overall relationships with others. 1. Compromise. To compromise means to settle a dispute by either side making a concession. Any concession means that you have to give up something. Okay, I will see your movie this week. We can see mine next week. In any relationship, personal or professional, losing is letting go of the need to fix everything for the other person and to listen openly. Even if you don't feel what you are hearing is in line with your thoughts. I am not telling you to agree with everything that you hear, but in order to compromise, you first have to listen. You will be better equipped to negotiate positions and interests from there. 2. Show vulnerability. For anyone who has ever read the book or been exposed to the idea, The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team by Patrick Lencioni, they would know that the very first dysfunction is the absence of trust. The root causes of the absence of trust lies within team members being unable to show areas where they may not be as strong as another and the ability to open up with one another. Teams can overcome this dysfunction by sharing experiences during their conversations. This develops strong insights into the unique characteristics of each team member, including the leader. Without trust, team members stay silent, especially at meetings, in an effort to avoid conflict leading to a false sense of harmony and eventually to bad decisions. I'm not saying that consensus is always needed, but commitment is a must. People don't need to agree with everything, but there is a better chance of getting people committed if their options are heard. Please note that admitting a developmental challenge may give you the feeling that you will be at a disadvantage, but this is not always the case. In some cases, you will actually be gaining trust. Let's look at a scenario where you are interviewing two candidates for a job. Suppose you ask a question. Tell me about a time where you had to work with someone you found to be difficult. The first candidate says, well, there was a time in my last job where this person refused to meet a deadline with a particular task. It was actually my fault because I realized that when we actually spoke about it, that she needed to analyze things carefully before making decisions. So I realized that I needed to make more realistic deadlines since she was a very analytical person. The second candidate says, I don't really find anyone difficult. I get along with everyone. Who would you trust? Even though this is an oversimplified example, and there is always a lot more to ask in an interview, the fact that the first person was willing to admit a shortfall could possibly mean that he or she may be willing to receive some negative feedback when given. 3. Adapt. In a short video by Rabbi Dr. Abraham Twersky on responding to stress, he asks a question. How does a lobster grow? Well, the answer to the question is that its soft body grows inside of its shell. It becomes uncomfortable, so it sheds its old shell and starts to grow a new one. This happens about 25 times in its first 5 to 7 years of life. And this is the way it adapts to life. If we use adversity wisely, we too can grow, but it first means understanding what that adversity is and how we are perceiving it. During my early life at primary school, between 4 to 11 years old, we played games involving marbles, three-hole and rings to name a few, and games involving cards. It often ended with the uncomfortable and sometimes devastating result of losing our marbles as well as our cards. Nevertheless, it taught us to adapt to both situations and people as we grew older. It's a drastic difference to what children are exposed to today, as video games can simply be restarted if you lose. Where is the adaptability? But not all is lost. because there are still sports, physical and online educational resources on parents who do a great job in teaching their children delayed gratification and, in effect, adaptability. As adults, in addition to situations, we must also adapt to the different types of personalities and work styles around us. It is not necessary to change your personality with everyone you meet. You don't have to be a chameleon. It is simply to adjust your approach to suit the person with whom you are communicating. If this is not your habit, it will feel like you are temporarily leaving a part of yourself behind, and those who you interact with will seem difficult. However, people who think differently and behave differently will always be around us. This makes adapting a necessary part of life, and it can reap massive benefits if we take the time. So in conclusion, can we simply be happy for others when they succeed? Can we forego our ego for a minute and surrender the need to have the last word? Can we simply sacrifice the constant need to win? Of course we can. It all depends on the story you tell yourself in any of these scenarios. If compromise, vulnerability, and adaptability are unfamiliar to you, it will be a good idea to begin making them familiar, as they would be keys to seeing astonishing improvements in all aspects of your work life and personal life. Listen, care for, and forgive others at times. Maybe in the end, you will realize that you will not be losing at all. And eventually, you will have a better day, a better night, and most importantly, a better life. Thank you for listening. To learn more about being authentic, please click the link on the screen. And if you haven't already, please make sure you subscribe. Also, please visit my website at www.v-formation.net for information on programs, webinars, virtual and face-to-face training programs. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.